Welcome back to Financial Spectrum. I'm Bill Kearney. For the balance of our time, we're going to be chatting about the idea of private equity. For an awful lot of you out there that are still stung and cautious with regard to your own investment decisions because of what we went through back in 2008-2009, a lot of the headlines back then were caught by Madoff. He was the poster boy for problems with the hedge funds and some of the private equity portfolios. But private equity is a little bit different than hedge funds. We're going to talk about exactly what that is. But private equity also is a place where an awful lot of investors have been able to score substantial, home runs and triples, if you will. Most investors are happy to get singles and doubles over time. Using that baseball metaphor that you hear me use and a lot of others, is the idea that singles and doubles eventually can the sort of the tortoise and hare thing. You use the tortoise approach to get steady and slow returns that are more predictable, that are safer over time. Private equity is clearly riskier because it's not regulated the same way. You don't get the same reporting the way you do with mutual funds or unit trusts or closed-end funds or ETFs. So private equity, while being riskier, the potential is often higher. But that's, I think, as much as most investors really understand about private equity. So joining me now, as an individual who's written a book, Private Equity, Operational Due Diligence, Tools to Evaluate Liquidity, Valuation, and Documentation. Jason Sharfman, he's a managing partner at Corgentum Consulting, performs operational due diligence reviews on hedge funds, private equity, and real estate funds on behalf of institutional investors, pensions, very high net worth individuals, and ERISA plans like retirement pensions and whatnot. And prior to being with Corgentum, he was a director of operational risk at Greystone Research, which is a division of Morgan Stanley. As a director, he's responsible for managing global operational risk assessment for all U.S., Asian, and European funds. Just huge, huge responsibility at a time when I would think that accuracy and the ability to make apples-to-apples comparisons and things is probably getting more and more difficult. So I want to welcome to the program Jason Sharfman. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Thanks for that introduction.
Hey, I appreciate you joining us. Thanks for spending the time with us. Your customer base, if you will, tends to be very large organizations, high net worth. We're talking about extraordinarily wealthy individuals, and for that matter, other sort of private investment organizations that look at private equity and hedge funds as probably what they build a portfolio out of, as opposed to just buying blue chip stocks and a couple of mutual funds. So we're not your typical audience, but I so appreciate you joining us to talk about the kind of insights that your book has from your experience about how somebody should evaluate an investment like this.
Sure.
Did I describe that accurately? Or
absolutely. Our clients range from, as you said, ultra high net worth individuals, and that could be somebody who made their fortune, in a business not related in any way, shape, or form to investing at all. They ran a business for many years, successful, and now you have money to invest. Or large institutions, including public and core and private pension funds, both domestically and internationally, as well as more professional organizations such as fund of hedge funds or fund of private equity funds,
okay,
which
sure
are funds that actually invest in other private equity funds.
Those funds of funds do make themselves available to retail investors, depending on the structure of it. And it's helpful to know that somebody like Jason Sharfman and Corgentum is there analyzing this and getting a deeper understanding of the structure.
Yeah, and that's a great point. We've seen minimum investment levels come down among fund-to-funds in particular, whereas a few years ago, most fund-to-funds might not talk to you unless you had $1 million or so to invest.
Yeah.
But those minimums have come down a lot, in some cases even
$25,000. Yeah,
So certainly, some people in your audience might be have the opportunity to make those types of investments.
They do, and for that matter, there are both public and private sector members of our listening audience that do have larger amounts of capital at their disposal. But the fact that there's that there's a different method of evaluating things speaks to the risk involved. Generally speaking, let's look at your history. How did you get to the place where you're such an expert now on and able to write a book on the analysis of private equity in hedge funds?
Sure. My background started off, my first job was at Thompson Financial Corporation, which, you know, produces a number of different products and has a number of different affiliated entities. First Call is one of the most famous products. And I started off in M&A due diligence. So when a company was looking to, when Thompson was looking to purchase another company, we had to go in and evaluate not just, is this a good investment opportunity, but how does everything else work? You know, it's a business. So if they're valuing things they own, how are they valuing them? A business needs to have insurance. It needs to, you know, everything from paying your employees to making sure if there's a terrorist attack, the lights stay on. And that sort of, all those key skills are, you know, applicable whether you're looking at purchasing a company like a direct private equity investment would, or investing in a fund manager, a private equity fund. And that's sort of where my background started in due diligence.
And when you talk about due diligence, what kind of tools do you use to, and I know that's what, you know, you're talking about most of the book, summarizing in just a sentence or two, but in general, what kind of tools do you draw from to look at these investments that are not registered? They're not scrutinized by Morningstar and Lipper and others.
Yeah, it's really, that's where a lot of the legwork comes in, and it varies. I mean, this subject and private equity in general, when you start digging into the nuts and bolts, it's very multidisciplinary. Mm. So I'm a lawyer, but there's legal skills to look at in terms of these funds are legal entities, and they have a number of different structures involved. Investors can go in to any one of these different structures, depending on, you know, tax considerations, where they're located, you know, what type of retirement plan they're running. So you need to have background in the law. You need to have background in accounting, because you need to look at things like audited financial statements, if they're following certain accounting guidelines and presenting things in certain ways. What a lot of people don't realize is there's rules in place, but the rules give fund managers and even accountants discretion to make certain choices. And if you're not on top of them, they can make choices which might benefit them and disadvantage you.
Yeah.
And that's one of those, you know, accounting's a really good example of that. Another skill set is, particularly in this day and age, technology, being able to evaluate, you know, as I said, if, you know, a fund is making certain types of trades and 9/11 happens and the lights go out, 9/11 only affects, you know, the East Coast. It's people in Rome, their lights are still on, right? So a private equity firm might be able to trade and disadvantage a private equity firm in New York. So being able to say, okay, do they have a plan in place to deal with this when things like this happen? And that's something that most investors might not think about because they're so focused on, you know, are the investments going to make money? But there's a lot of different skill sets. Valuation for private equity is the biggest one.
Okay.
And going in and saying, how are they actually valuing these positions?
Yeah. Now, so kind of getting back to the basics of what private equity is all about, a lot of people have this vision that, you know, when they hear, those that have thought about it at least, the private equity is about getting on the inside of something like Facebook or Twitter, you know, long before they go public, having the ability to get in on the ground floor and be one of the early investors. What they don't see is the thousands or millions of private equity investments like that that don't go anywhere.
Right.
What, from your perspective, give us a ballpark idea of the percentage of investments that work.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a broad gamut, right? As you said, the most famous ones are the Facebook, the Twitter, even Bono from the band U2 is involved in a private equity fund. So there's very high-level kind of deals private equity will do, film financing. But then there's a lot smaller deals that go on. You know, it really depends on what we've seen is how effective, how professional people are before they go in when they're looking at a fund.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people will make sort of mid-tier or smaller private equity investments of, you know, a couple million dollars, let's say. It's more on a friends and family type basis. And a lot of those don't work because they're not structured to, you know, they're only looking to raise $8 million and they get $4 million from friends, which aren't exactly kicking the tires on them. The bigger deals do work, but it depends on who you talk to in terms of evaluating if they're successful.
Yeah.
Because
there's so many stories about celebrities that, you know, you just envision, you know, I think one of the ones that was brought to my mind over the weekend, I forget who brought it up to me, but someone mentioned Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why isn't that guy worth, you know, $500 or $600 million at this point? He should have been able to take a lot of those millions that he made back in the 80s and invest those in private equity that would have scored. But the problem is, a lot of these people do use private equity. They use leverage. They use debt to try to enhance that return. And a lot of these investments just don't work out, but partly because they've entrusted other people to make decisions for them that didn't do the due diligence that you do.
Yeah, and that's a great point as well in terms of, a lot of people, particularly if they don't come from a financial background and they have a certain amount of wealth, they're relying on advisors. And that's definitely a key area and something that's sort of a corollary to looking at fund of hedge funds is performing due diligence on your advisor as well.
Okay,
And that can include everything from, you know, just making sure the guy's not a criminal or, you know, making sure he went to school where he said he went to school to, if he's advising you on a private equity fund, you know, how does he get paid? What are his incentives to place you in one fund or over another fund? Is there any sort of rebate or kickback, trailing fees? So, you know, a lot of times due diligence involves asking questions that might be a little bit uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable because they appear to might risk the relationship.
Absolutely, and that's the advantage of using a consultant. And what a lot of my clients find as well is that, you know, we're a neutral party, and we're compensated on a flat fee to perform this work, sort of a SWAT team going in and giving you an independent review of these types of funds and advisors. So, you know, if we ask a certain question, it's sort of, that's my job. It's nothing personal. Whereas, you know, certainly a lot of investors, they don't want to broach some of these issues because of personal relationships they have with these advisors or funds.
They can turn to you. Now, give us a sense of who Gorgentum is as well. It's Gorgentum.
Yep.
I love the logo. You got the pointer.
Thank you.
That's just really clever. How long has Corgenta been around? What's the founding of it, and who do you guys cater to?
Yeah, so we founded the firm in 2008, and you know, as you said, I used to do this for Morgan Stanley, and we cater to really anyone who invests in hedge funds, private equity, real estate funds. We've also done work on long only funds. We've seen a lot of traction in, you know, clients going to MLP-type funds. And at the end of the day, what we do is go in and look at a certain series of factors that take a lot of risk off the table. And this will range from traditional back-office-type things. Does the manager have the ability to write himself a check for $1 million out of the fund?
Hmm.
You know, certainly that's not best practice, right?
It's good that somebody can discover that and put that as part of a more comprehensive report.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times when we do these types of reviews, and at Corgentum we've done training actually for the financial regulators in terms of how to detect not only fraud but operational weaknesses. And what we'll go in and find is oftentimes we won't have necessarily a red flag to conclusively prove fraud, and very rarely will you get that. But you'll have enough questions and unanswered questions and yellow flags. They'll say, you know what? There's a lot of other better options out there, and our clients move on and find somebody who's willing to be transparent.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for the retail investor again, you know, getting away from that extraordinarily high net worth, and you know, we're not going to invest like Mike Tyson, hopefully, and we're not going to invest like, you know, Tom Brady or some of these other, you know, high profile individuals
mm-hmm.
who are entrusting their money probably to a handful of agents, legal types, that then hand it off to other investment advisors that are finding private equity on their behalf, just hoping all this works out. Your book goes into a lot of tools that get into really in-depth mathematical tools and legal tools to discover all this. From your perspective, and let me ask it from a different angle. A lot of people look at a book like this, they start to read it, and they get involved, and they say, you know what this is teaching me? That I need Corgentum to do this for me.
Right.
That I'm not equipped and don't have an interest in doing this on my own. I'm assuming that there's been a lot of demand to you saying, could you teach me how to do this?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things we'll do as well, where we'll work with people who, you know, have their own advisors, And, you know, they'll say, look, we just want an independent, dedicated review to go in and do this. And I don't think there's anything being wrong with being smart enough to say, I don't know everything. And that's even something we come across where there's, you know, esoteric tax issues or legal issues. But we have experts that we rely on to help us give us those types of answers. Yeah. So, you know, where CoreGentum comes in on a retail side is, you know, being able to either train people or conduct an evaluation and say, look, we're going to develop a program for you, and you can work with your advisors to implement this. If you have a lawyer to, you know, conduct your own legal reviews, or we can you know handle the full review for you yourself. Personally, I sleep better at night knowing that you know if I'm investing my own money or advising other people that you're taking a lot of this risk off the table. You don't have to worry about it.
Well, and you know that's probably one of the first steps toward investment disaster is not worrying about. I mean, is thinking I can ignore it, and you know somebody else has got this covered to a degree. You got to, especially when you're investing the level of money, the amount of money necessary to get involved in private equity.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be pretty careful about what you're doing when it comes to analyzing. And again, you know, this is sort of like, you know, summarizing the book in a few sentences. And I don't mean to minimize it because it's very complex and very important. But describe the differences between trying to crunch the numbers on a private equity investment versus Procter & Gamble, Apple, IBM, these companies that are public and have to adhere to New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ or FINRA rules on reporting on a quarterly regular basis. You know, there's strict rules about how these companies that are publicly traded must report their earnings, their revenue, their balance sheets, everything. And what goes into their annual report, and for that matter, the audit of it, versus a private equity firm where you don't have all those restrictions.
No, absolutely, it's a great question, and you know, just one problem we find quite often, even when a private equity firm is, you know, SEC registered, which a lot of them have to be, or you know, have certain requirements. You know, publicly traded companies can get into a lot of issues as well, despite these strict requirements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Enron's a great example of that. So
absolutely.
On the private equity side, it's a little bit more Wild West in the sense that there is less regulation, and they have a lot of discretion in terms of what they're investing in and what, you know, the book tries to lay out and what investors can you know take away as a difference is really it's up to you, either as a retail investor, a professional institutional investor, an advisor, to go in and do this work and really look at what the manager is investing in. If it's a venture capital fund, they could be going into a Facebook.
Yeah.
But understanding what are those investments, what is the due diligence process, what are the, you know, standards at the firm in terms of being able to make these investments, and exactly as you said, not just setting it and forgetting it, doing it, committing your capital, and then performing ongoing monitoring.
Yeah. And you know, again, listeners, we don't have the time to get into some of the nuances, but understand this, private equity isn't like you can then 2 days later say, you know, I've changed my mind on this. I think I'll get out of the Apple stock and buy Google. You can't, the liquidity factors are significantly different when it comes to private equity. And so doing the due diligence, understanding what you're getting yourself getting involved in, and making sure you're making prudent decisions is that much more critical. Again, the name of the book is Private Equity, Operational Due Diligence, Tools to Evaluate Liquidity, Valuation, and Documentation by Jason Scharfman of CoreGentum. And it's put out by Wiley Publishing. You can find it certainly on Amazon. Is there another website people can turn to, Jason?
They can also go to CoreGentum.com to learn more about my firm and what we do. That'd be a great start.
Fabulous. Jason, thanks so much. Been a pleasure having you on the program, and congratulations on the book.
Thanks a lot, Bill.
Listen, stick around. We'll come back in just a moment, give you an update on the market, prepare you for Bloomberg Radio coming at the top of the hour. Back in a moment with Financial Spectrum.